Ready? Okay. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about being intentional. Being intentional. Before we begin, let's give glory and honor to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank him for trusting me to provide his word to his children. It is an honor. It is a privilege. It is sometimes stifling, but it is amazing. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the pastor for allowing me to stand in front of the congregation. Thank you. Thank you. Before we begin the message, I just want to start in prayer because everything worth doing is worth doing to begin in prayer. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We come before you and we are so enthralled by who and what you are. Lord, you are a good, good Father, and you only want the best for us. So today, Lord, we pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, is your word. Every word that everyone hears, Father God, and whatever they see when I present your word will be from you, Father, not from anyone else, but from you, not from me, not from anyone else, because I only want to do what you want me to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, to be intentional. In the Greek, the word intentional is ekpraktheosis. It means to be deliberate, to be expedient, to be intentional. In our everyday language, to be intentional means to do something by design. You have set out to plan something, to do it by design from start, middle to finish. So we want to be intentional with our walk in Christ. We want to make sure that what we do with and for him is always by design. Because if we want to be like Christ, if we want to do things in order and walk in the Spirit, we must know that Christ was intentional. He didn't do anything that he didn't hear from his father. He didn't do, act, walk, talk, anything. He didn't go anywhere by accident. Sometimes the disciples would think, oh, why are we going here? Why are we going there? It had nothing to do with what Jesus wanted to do and everything to do with the intentionality that God had for him to do. He spoke to the Holy Spirit. He had his time where he was alone and he had to hear from God. Because again, he wanted everything he did to be intentional and by the word of God. There are other examples, although Jesus is the greatest example. There are other examples in the Bible of being intentional. We have Daniel. Daniel was intentional in his devotion to God, even in the face of persecution.
Amen.
He prayed three times a day when he wasn't supposed to. You know, there was an edict that was out where they could only praise the king. And he didn't care about that decree. No, he was going to be intentional with how he felt about the Lord, even though he was forbade from doing it. He was also intentional in believing that God was not denying his request. In Daniel 10, I believe it starts in verse 5. And if you read to, I think it's all the way to 12, it speaks of his vision of the archangel Michael. I think I have it here. Yes, because he had prayed, and 3 weeks later, nothing. He seen nothing. There was nothing going on. He didn't know, was like, wait a minute, I've already prayed for this, Lord. I know you heard me. I know that you're going to answer me, but what is going on? And in 10, Daniel 10, verse 12, it says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. This is Michael speaking to Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, that means from the first day that you prayed and that you accepted and received, that you had already got it. Somebody wrote a book. You already got it. From the day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God. So he just humbled himself. He's like, I prayed, he heard me, but still, 3 weeks, you know. I'm sure Daniel was like, what's going on, Lord? I don't know. But Michael says, those words were heard, and I have come for those words. He was fighting principalities. Michael had to fight to get back to Daniel. It wasn't just because of Daniel's prayer, it was more because there's all kinds of holy wars going on. And in the spirit world, Daniel or Michael had work to do. You know, it's not, people think that when we go to heaven, we're just going to be sitting around on clouds and just no, God has work for us to do. Now, we are not going to be fighting principalities in heaven. That's the holy war that the angels do, the warrior angels do. But Michael was doing that work to make sure that everything that needed to be done was cleared out of the way. And then he was going to take care of Daniel's request. And Daniel was intentional to know that that delay was not God's denial, never his denial. And now we can go to David, another great example. David, King David. When you think of this story, what a mighty, mighty young man he was. From a young man, he had killed a bear, he had killed a lion, taking care of the sheep. And then again, as a young man, he fought a giant. I mean, everybody else was scared of the giant. Everybody's standing around the whole army. How are we going to kill him? What are we going to do? And David was like, I'll get him. Give me a rock and a sling. I'm good. David was not afraid because he knew he was intentional in knowing who his God was and what his God was going to do. He knew that God was not going to fail him. He knew it. Now, as David grew up, and we know the story with him and Bathsheba. Well, it wasn't really until the prophet Nathan brought to David's memory what he had really done with Uriah and what he had done with Bathsheba. And he used the analogy of sheep and cattle, I believe it was, to talk about a rich man and a poor man and how the rich man had taken the cattle. And David was infuriated. He was like, oh, he has to pay for that. And then Nathan just told him, you're that man. You are that man. You took this man's wife and then you had him killed. And when David realized, which I'm not sure why it took him so long to realize, but sometimes when we're in our sin, we, you know, sometimes, yeah, takes us a minute. But when he realized what he had done, he intentionally asked for forgiveness from God. You know, there is a movie where they show David throwing himself on the Ark of the Covenant. I don't believe that's in the Bible. I don't remember seeing that anywhere. But we knew that in that day, you know, you weren't supposed to touch the Ark, you would die. And in the movie, he throws himself on the Ark of the Covenant and he repents. Now, I don't know if all that drama happened like that, but I do know that he did. They had to do something. But we do know that he did intentionally repent and ask for forgiveness from God. In 2 Samuel 12, if you're looking for the verses, 2 Samuel 12 is where the prophet Nathan brought all these things back to his memory. And in Psalm 51 is where he intentionally asked for forgiveness. Another great example in the Bible of being intentional is a young lady with a beautiful name. Her name is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was very intentional in her obedience to God. Can you imagine being a young girl? Now, I've heard she was anywhere between like 14 and maybe 18 or something like that. I think actually 18 was old back then. So she probably 14, 16, something like that. Can you imagine Gabriel coming to you as a young girl and telling you that you were going to carry the Savior of the world? And she was so humble and so trusting and so intentional in her belief. What did she say? I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. That's in Luke 1:38. There's other accounts, but that's read from Luke 1:38. Mary was intentional in her faith to believe that whatever this angel said, that had to be the word of God. So she had to follow it. One more example, Paul. Now we all know Paul. Paul set out to not only imprison Christians, but he also was killing Christians. You know, he was setting them up to be killed. But look what he ended up doing. The New Testament is full of Paul, just full of Paul. He had that road to Damascus experience, and Jesus enlightened him and opened his eyes by closing his eyes. God is good. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly how to come to us so he gets our attention. Because I'm telling you, I don't know if there was anything else that would have humbled Paul, because he was a little puffed up. He thought he knew everything because he was trained, and, you know, he was brought up, and he believed, and he didn't believe. He believed what we believe, but his eyes were just not open. He had a lot of law in his heart and in his mind. And I don't know if anything else other than knocking him down off that horse and taking away his sight would have made him realize what he was doing. And when Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" he was talking about his children, because Paul was persecuting his children. That's us. And then Paul intentionally made it his mission to spread the gospel and make disciples. You know, disciple making is very important. It's good to bring someone to help them to get to repentance and get them saved. But if you just allow them to be saved and then walk away, what do they do next? How do they walk? Discipleship is very, very, very important. And I know I said that that was the last example, but I got one more. My next example is me, myself, and I. I have had to learn in walking in the truth of who I am in Christ to be very intentional in studying the word, in reading the word, and having a close relationship with God, because we can be surface people. I believe in God, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm going to live my life. But what is that going to do for you? It's not going to get you closer to him. When you call out, he hears you. But when you have that close, intentional relationship with him, when you cultivate that with him, that's when you can speak in tongues. That's when you don't know what to pray, that you just give everything to him and let everything go. And you not only speak to him, but you hear him speak to you. That's the beauty. When you hear the Lord speak to you, because people often say it's so hard for them to hear God, or God's not speaking anymore. That is not true. God is always working. God is always talking. Got a lot to say. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he does. Amen. So how do we practice intentional living the way God designed? Living intentionally is taking a stand for what you believe and pursuing a life that honors those beliefs. I believe it all comes down to two core things: knowing your identity in Christ and knowing how much he loves you, because those are two different things. So your identity in Christ, let's break that down just a little bit. Our identity in Jesus is like getting a driver's license. You get a driver's license, it's legitimate, it's valid. You can use it to go wherever it is you have to go if you have a car. I mean, I guess you could still carry it, but it wouldn't mean the same if you didn't have a car. Unlike a name tag, if you get a name tag, it's usually just a little piece of paper, one of those crazy sticky things that peels off if you're at a convention or something, doesn't do you any good. But it doesn't stand up the same way a driver's license does. It's vital that we see ourselves in the truth of who God has made us to be and as he sees us. If we live in a state of guilt or shame, believing that we're nothing more than an old, unworthy sinner, it will be difficult to receive from God. 1 John 3:21, Hebrews 10:35, and Proverbs 23:7 tells us who we are in Christ. It will help build you up. There are so many verses. If you just search the internet and look for the attributes of God or who we are in Christ, it will tell you exactly how he feels about us. When I was talking about the name tag, you know, that's a label. And the world will try to put labels on us. The world will try to tell us we're poor, we're depressed, we're sad, we're sick. I ain't being sick no more. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. I've had enough. Those things are not who we are in Christ. We are saved. We are healed. We are delivered. We are set free. And guess what else? If those things weren't enough, guess what else? God trusts us. He trusts us in a way that we could never imagine. He trusts us to go forth and do. It was his charge. He told us to lay hands on the sick. He told us to go out and do these things. If he didn't trust us, and I know some of us, me included, probably thinking, why would he trust me? But he trusts us because he knows our hearts. We don't even know our hearts. We have to search our own hearts to figure out who we are and what we want. But he trusts us. It doesn't matter what those labels are that the world tries to tell us we are. Compared to the truth of who we are in Christ, just doesn't matter. They're not true. Our identity has been issued by God, not by man, not by the word. It has been issued by God. He calls us healed, blessed, joyful, forgiven. Praise God. Praise God. If you ever want to be built up, just listen to the things that God says about you. Not this world. Not this world. So that's how you start to come to know your identity in Christ. Number two, knowing how much he loves you. When we know that God loves us, if we understand he trusts us, but if we know he loves us, and if we know that he is love, no one else can love us the way God loves, because he's the very definition of love and grace. So when we come to know and see ourselves in the truth of who God has made us to be, then we can walk after the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. We can live our lives knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what comes, we're loved by God. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter if I said some crazy things I wasn't supposed to say, did some crazy things I wasn't supposed to do. It just doesn't matter because God loves me. Now, don't keep doing them. You know, we don't want to keep doing those things. We want to grow. We want to live the way God wants us to live. But if we think we're unworthy, it makes it difficult for us to receive anything at all. I mean, we can't even love ourselves if we don't understand how much God loves us. And I think it was David that said, you know, he had to encourage himself sometimes, you know, because sometimes we get in that pit. And I've been in one. I don't want to talk about it right now, but I've been in one. Amen. Amen. The devil wants us to look at who we once were. The lies of the past. The lies of the past. But God has given us the freedom to move beyond our past. He's even given us the freedom to move beyond the current situation we're in. Why? Because his son has already paid for everything. He's done it all. There is nothing that we can't do when we're in Christ, because he's already taken care of everything. We can walk in the confidence and reassurance of who he has made us to be. That's in Hebrews 4:16. That is God's love for us. He just wants us. You know, 3 John 2 is one of my favorite verses. I stood on that verse when I was sick in July and part of this month. And he wants us to prosper in all things and be in health, not just, you know, walking around, okay, sometimes up and down. And life has ups and downs, but God wants us to continue to walk in him. He wants us prosperous. And what I find interesting about that verse is it's not just in our finances. It's not just in our bodies. He also wants our souls to prosper. He wants our souls to get better and better and cleaner, because you know, we have our spirit and our soul tries to fight our spirit. That's our flesh. That's our man. That's the world. And he wants our souls to get cleaner and cleaner and clearer. And he wants us to be able to walk with him. It's not about anything that we've done that God loves us. Not at all. Not at all. It's about what he did for us by sending his son who gave his life for us. It's about God's grace and mercy. And even though, you know, when I was younger, it took me a while to one, understand why would people wear a crucifix? Because to me, it was a symbol of someone's physical pain. You know, I didn't get the spiritual side of it then. And then I also wondered, why would anyone want to worship someone who died for you? Not that he was dead, but I didn't get, I felt like we were reveling in someone's death. I just didn't get it when I was younger. I'm like, why are we happy about this? That poor man. but I understand now that when Jesus did what he did, he wasn't even looking at himself. He was looking at the Father and he was looking at us in the future. He saw my face. He saw your face. He saw your face. He saw everyone in the future and beyond. You know, the world's not over yet. So he saw other people that we may never see. And he knew what would happen if he didn't do what he did. You know, they call it the dark ages in the world. But those years that before Jesus came, in between when the prophets were gone and when Jesus came, they were dark years. There was some craziness going on. People eating their children. And it was there was a lot of darkness going on. But going back to the beginning of my message, as I mentioned, this Greek word meaning intentional, it means to be deliberate, desirable, expedient, willful, and purposeful. As you meditate on those words, keep those words in your heart and think of how you have or have not been intentional with your walk with Christ. Do you read your word? Do you meditate on it and take notes to remember his promises? Because his promises are important, because he keeps his word. If you remember those promises and you see them unfold in your life, that helps build your strength and your heart up in him. When you read the book, do you look at it and memorize the information, or do you intentionally allow the Holy Spirit to do his work and guide you to the truth that God wants to place in your heart? Because it's good to memorize the word. It's good to memorize verses. I'm not real good at that yet, but I'll get there. But when you get that in your heart, that's where God gets in and flourishes. He gets in your heart and he moves and roots things around. He pulls things up. He replaces it with himself. And that's when you can walk intentionally with him. If you don't do these things, if you don't meditate on the word, if you don't pray, if you don't try to cultivate a closer relationship with him, are you being more intentional to the world? Are you watching the news? Are you watching TV or movies that maybe you shouldn't be watching? Things that are filling your mind, your heart, just taking your time away from God and away from your family and away from the things you should be doing, which is being intentional with God. If you're still more intentional with things of the world and not so much seeking the Lord, it's easy to stop. I mean, stop slowly, stop quickly, however, just stop. Whatever works. It might be one movie at a time. It might, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, I know Edward did it much quicker than I did. I'm still watching some stuff up, but we ain't going to talk about that. But just stop and then ask the Lord to reveal to you what it is that you need to remove from your heart, what it is that you need to stop doing. And when he tells you, listen, I used to be you sure you want me to do that, Lord? Because what's it gonna hurt if I just continue? Don't be like Mary. Don't be like me. Don't do that. Just listen to what he wants you to do. Whatever is in your heart or your mind that is stopping you from having a more personal relationship with him, he'll tell you what it is. So we just repent for whatever it is and move on. Don't waste time lamenting over it. Don't waste time wondering whether or not, well, I stopped, but did I stop soon enough? I stopped, but should I stop more? Just stop. Just walk away and give it all to God. Move on and be intentional in the way you love and seek him. Or could it be that you're too busy? Because you know, we get busy in the world, or we say we're doing this and we say we're doing that. But Nehemiah 8 talks of how they all gathered. Now, listen to this. They all gathered together while Ezra, the priest, read the law of God to them. He read it. Listen to this now. This got me. He read it from early morning until midday. They were in church from early morning till midday. Must have been a Pentecostal service. I'm just saying. I used to go to a Pentecostal church. They were there all morning long and part of the afternoon listening to the word of God. Now, today, if that happened, people would get up and walk out. You'd have people on their phone watching the game. You'd have people playing on their phone. If it takes longer than 20 minutes, people don't want to sit around and listen to it nowadays. But they were intentional of listening to the word of God. And Ezra was intentional to give it to them. He meant that. So are you too busy? We have things to do and people to see. Unfortunately, church has become something we do instead of something that we are. Because guess who we are? We are the church. We are the ecclesia. Amen. That's right. There are three definitions for ecclesia, and I'm not going to go into those right now, but the most important one is just that simple word that means so much, church. That's who we are. As we walk around, we represent God. When we talk to people, whether it's just hello or if we're trying to spread the word, we represent God. We represent the church. So, my message is not long today, but I just want to say, who's paying attention? Who's being intentional? Whether you're in church or whether you are walking the street, few are taking the time to dwell, abide, or inhabit, or remain in God's presence nowadays. They're believing their own truth when the only truth is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no my truth or your truth. It's the truth. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing that God wants fellowship with us and that he will remain to grow and allow us to nurture a relationship with him. He's just, he's merciful, he is our rock. And those are just a few of his characteristics. You know, if you, again, like I said, search the Bible and get to know God's character, you can't help but trust and love him. You'll find verse after verse on how much he loves us and his intent for us, because yes, God is intentional as well. His intent is to show us his love. He wants nothing more than for us to come to him and get to know him. You know, he's not just sitting up there throwing out commandments and watching everything we do to condemn us, because there's no condemnation in God, none whatsoever. We get conviction, but we should get conviction. We should convict ourselves. But you know, we try to skirt right around that. When we take the time to get to know him, it allows us to hear his voice, know his ways, and walk his path for our lives. Read the Bible, even if it's just a verse a day. Read the Bible, get it in your heart. It will not only tell you about him, But it will tell you about you. It will tell you who you are, what you are to him. Be intentional about cultivating and nurturing a relationship with God. It's where we get our strength and our knowledge and our true being, because we don't know who we are without him. He's the only one that will reveal it to us. Amen. Amen. That's my message for today. So let's pray. Amen. 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 Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that you are intentional with us. We thank you, God, that you pursue us, even in our sin, even in our wrongdoing, even when we turn our back on you. You continue to pursue us. There is nothing that you would not do just to show us your love. You sent your one and only son. You'll never have another son again, Father God. He's with you now. But you sent your one and only son to save us. And he did it. He did it because he saw us. He was intentional. Thank you, Father God, and his love for us and his love and obedience to you. So God, thank you for everything you've done, everything you're doing, everything you will do. And Father, I love to say thank you for the things that you did not do for me, because it was not my season, not my time, or just not for me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Man, thank you.